An exciting day for me because I want to just share with you something that I hope will help you in 2024. And I've been waiting to preach this for a while, so I'm good to go. So I pray you are. And but let me just tell you this. This is in Zechariah 9:12, and I think we have that for you. But it says, "Return to the stronghold. Let the Lord be your stronghold. You can't depend on things in the world, people of the world, systems of the world, but you can depend on Jesus. Let him be your hiding place. Let him be that secret place. Let him be your stronghold." And I didn't put verse 11 on there, but I'll just tell you the reason that all of us can come to the stronghold of Jesus. Verse 11 talks about because of the sprinkling of the blood. It's the blood covenant. Because of the covenant, it's paid for. It's a guarantee for you. Let me just say it like this. It's got your name on it. Victory in this journey has got your name on it. It doesn't mean that there won't be battles. There will be battles. And you may feel like a prisoner right now, but if you are a prisoner, be a prisoner of hope. Understand that it's temporary. This is not your forever position, all right, your forever state. If you're in a struggle today, then I want to tell you, be a prisoner of hope, knowing that your rescue is coming, and be willing. See, even today, this is what he says. This is great hope. This is what we're to focus on. I know there's a human tendency. This is why we have to encourage one another in the Lord. There's a human tendency to focus on the loss, to focus on what's not here, to focus on the empty. But I want to tell you, we're encouraged in Scripture to return to the stronghold, come back to Jesus, let Jesus be the center of your focus, the center of your heartbeat, the center of your life. And you know what? Focus on the much more, because Jesus is the much more. He's the more than enough. And he's the unlimited supply for whatever you need in your life. That's your Jesus. And I love this picture right here. And boy, we could talk about some folk in Scripture where we saw examples of this. But he says, "And I declare, he is decreed for you." Would you let the Holy Spirit write your name in that? "He has decreed for you, I will restore double your former prosperity to you." Now I want to know, I just got to say, we could all probably have some testimony of the enemy robbing or stealing or taking ground away in our life, but I'm here to announce something to you. Because of the Redeemer, because your Redeemer lives, he can redeem what the enemy has stolen manyfold. That's his heart. And I want to say a lot happens when we agree with his heartbeat. And you know what? We practice saying what he says and doing what he says. Resist. And you'll see that the Lord's not only got your back, but he's got your side, and he got your front too. Is that good news? And so 2024, how do we have abundant life in 2024? You know what? I could say this to Grace. I could say to Diane, you know, your life doesn't look easier in 2024. Man, that's tough. It may not be easier. But I want to tell you, there's still abundant life in 2024 for you because your Redeemer lives. And you know what? He can redeem. And I want to tell you something. He's very, very precious to do that. It's okay to grieve. Sometimes in your journey, you know, and I just showed a little video of the little bear took a blow. Well, I want to tell you, sometimes in your journey, you take blows. Sometimes you get knocked down. And Scripture's real clear, though, that you may, a righteous person, get knocked down seven times, but the Lord lifts you up. The Lord picks you up. The Lord helps you up. And it doesn't mean that in battle, because this earth is a battlefield, it doesn't mean that you won't ever take a blow. You do take, you do take punches sometimes, and it hurts. And you grieve. And there's times that you weep, and that's okay. You know, the Lord created tear ducts for a reason. It's okay to use them. But one of the things that hit me this year, and you've heard me say it a couple times, you're going to hear it again today. But it's like this. He showed me a picture that when we do weep, that let your tears fall on his feet. In other words, let your weeping be toward him. And when we talk about being open-handed, see, drop it all. Lay it all at his feet. Hey, open-hearted, honest and open. Lord, I'm hurting here. Lord, I'm struggling here. See, he can help with that. It's when we try to hide it, pretend it's not so, cover it all. See, that's not openness. We need that. And he wants that. When you're open, it shows sincerity before him, that you're trusting him. And so you come open-minded, not with all the answers. You can even lay down the problems at his feet. But when you're open-handed and open-hearted and open-minded toward him, then he can speak wisdom to you. He can love on you. You're in a position to receive. And that's a priority with him. Your lion this year, it could come in the form of finances or lack of them, right? It could be in a struggle with health. There's not anything about that that's fun at all. You could face circumstances that make life a tougher challenge in 2024 than it was in 2023. What I mean by life harder is not as easy as it once was. But easy, and this is probably the only time that you're going to hear me say easy and victory in the same sentence. Because easy and victory don't normally go in the same sentence. We know the victories of the Lord. But I want to tell you something. It's tough. And you got to be willing to submit to the Lord and surrender to the Lord. You got to be willing to take the risk of faith. And you got to be willing to stand and resist. I think I've told you one year the Longhorns were playing Wyoming. And so the beautiful blonde and I took the opportunity to go to Colorado, right? And we spent a little time there. We went to Estes Park, I think it was. And I noticed a sign, and then I noticed it a couple of times. And so at first I thought it was a funny. But the sign said this: if you're attacked by a bear or a mountain lion, fight back. I thought somebody being funny. And then we saw the same sign again in another place. I said, look, they're serious. They don't know. I want to tell you, if I get attacked by a bear or a lion, I may get whooped, but I'm coming out with fur. Okay? Because you know what? God's designed you to fight back. There's not much room for sissy Christians. You got to have this righteous indignation in you that says, I believe the Lord, and I'm going to believe the Lord's report. I'm going to submit to God, and I'm going to fight back. Look, the love life with the Lord is what completes you in your journey. For the battle, for the blessing, it's the same love life, okay? 1 John 4:17-19. I'm going to have to preach fast, so y'all listen fast today. In this union and communion with him, this is out of the Amplified, because I wanted you to see this. It's the inferred in the Greek right here. In this union and communion with him, love is brought to completion. And I hear pastors when I go and travel sometime, Lord, we just want to love you more here, help our church love you more. That is a great desire. But the answer is right here. You practice your union and communion with the Lord. You let the Lord love on you, and you're going to love him more. It's not deep. It's not complicated, but it's got to be practiced. The more you let the Lord love on you, the more you see his love for you, it's an automatic byproduct response, because we love him back because he loved us first. Then I want to tell you, your love for the Lord's growing. Love is brought to completion and attains perfection with us. You grow up in his love when you practice letting the Lord love on you, the union and communion with him, that we might have confidence for the day of judgment. Now, I know a lot of people read this and they talk about way out there in the future. I don't think that's what it's talking about. Actually, when you look up the word judgment, it speaks of accusation and condemnation. Well, Jesus doesn't give that to you. The enemy gives that to you. And so don't let me upset your apple cart, but let me try to be a blessing to you in the right now life, that there are days of accusation that's going to come to your life. There are days of condemnation that's going to come to your life. Whether we invite it or we don't, it's still from the enemy. But what it is that when those days of accusation and condemnation come to your life, you need to have confidence, and your confidence in the Lord to look boldness and be bold to face him is because you've been bold to face these things with him because of love and communion. You have confidence in him. Do you see that? Amen, Brother Tim. Okay, I need to preach further. But boy, this is important. As he is, so are we in this world. And so the more you get to see his love, the more his love resides and abides in you. And what it creates is confidence in him. To be bold in days of accusation, in days of judgment, days of condemnation. For you to overcome. Amen. So here it is again. We love him because he first loved us. Amen. When we're well loved by Jesus, there's a closeness with him. And I want to tell you, you got to have that. I've been trying to tell people, matter of fact, I've been telling the teens, you know what, it's right now that you prepare for 2024. You don't wait till you hear the battle cry, oh, need to get ready. No, you know what, I want to tell you something. You walk with them today, and you walk with them tomorrow, and you practice love life with them today, and communion with them tomorrow, and you know what, when that day of attack comes, you can be bold because you have confidence in the Lord. It's not confidence in your ability or strength or brains. It's not that. It's our confidence is in our shepherd. But this is what makes it beautiful, because I want to tell you something. I wish I could say to every one of you that you're not going to face something, a big mountain in 24. I wish I could say to you that you're not going to face a lion in 24. But I want to tell you, the Bible speaks to the opposite of that. As a matter of fact, we're in the last days, and if you really believe we're in the last days, then you understand that Jesus said it's going to be more intense in the last days. Guess what? Don't be shocked when the world gets darker and darker and darker. The good news, when the world gets darker, the light gets brighter. And we have the light. And I want to tell you, the light of the believer and the light of the church is going to be brighter and brighter. And I want to tell you, Jesus is the light. And that's where we need to be. There are some people facing divorce in 24. I'm not speaking this on anybody. I hate divorce. You may experience a death in 2024. Let me give you some good news. In spite of those things, God still answers prayers. Wait a minute. In spite of those things, God keeps his promises. In spite of whatever the lion's name is or the mountain's name is, he wants to fulfill his purpose in your life. And part of the purpose in your life that he has for you is to be an overcomer. To be an overcomer, even through major challenges. Sometimes I'm told this, you know, Papa T, you're being a little too hard on me here. You know, you're challenging me a little bit too much. You're expecting too much. No, I want to tell you something. I know what it takes. The Lord doesn't desire you just to survive. He's got more for you than just to survive the journey till you get to heaven. You know what he's got in his heart for you is to thrive. He wants thriving for you. He wants this journey to be an overcoming journey, a more than conqueror journey. And you know what it takes in order for you to experience surviving to thriving? It takes your whole heart. That's why we use that football term a lot. You got to be all in with Jesus. It's not this, I keep wanting to say sissy. I don't mean to, but it's not this sissy stuff that you come on a Sunday and say, hello, Jesus, how they treating you in here? It's not that kind of thing. There's got to be a union and communion. It's a walk with him. And I want to tell you, that's where you thrive, is in your love, union, and communion with the Lord. That's how you grow up. That's how you're transformed. That's how that we become as he is. Wow. Okay. Romans 8:37. I'm trying to preach a little faster. Yet amid all these things. You know what that means? In the middle of all these things. Okay? I have a little trouble when people want to tell me, well, I would be doing well if it wasn't for, or if it wasn't for this situation that happened to me, I would be serving the Lord, I'd be loving the Lord, I'd be, no, no, no. What this verse says, is this Bible? I want to tell you, we believe Bible. And when it says, yet amid all these things, it means in the middle of, let me give you another term, in spite of. In spite of all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory. Through who? Through him. Through him who's loving on us, who loved us and is loving on us. Hey, somebody say super conqueror. Okay, I believe that for you. John 16:33, Jesus said, I've told you these things. What are these things? Hey, look, it's his words. His words are life. His words are strength. His words are peace. His words are joy. His word is alive. We got to digest it. It can't go from in ear to other ear. It's got to be something that's planted in our heart that we digest. We eat it up. Make it a part of us. I have told you these things, his words, so that in me, in union and communion with him, you may have perfect peace and confidence. I want to tell you a peace that doesn't make any sense whatsoever. I've had things happen in my life. I'm not talking about my life this morning, but I've had things happen in my life where people have said, you need to just retire. You need to quit. You need to go home. You need to take a few months off. There's no reason for you to be working today. You need to go home. No, no, no. I'm telling you, the only reason I was there is because of peace. But it's a peace that's super to your natural. It's supernatural. And you know what? It's a confidence in God. That you know what? No, I don't have plan B, C, or D. I don't have step 3, 4, and 5. But you know what? My confidence is in the Lord. Wow, he loves it. Heaven loves to see that and to hear that. In the world, you have tribulation, trials, distress, and frustration. I thought there'd be a loud amen right there. But because of who he is, and because of our position in him, it's because of him, in him, look at this, we can be of good cheer. He says, be of good cheer. You know, I love this in Amplified. Look at this. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. He says, for I have overcome the world. I love this right here. Would you just look at this? I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Does that sound like good news to you? I want to tell you, that's you. I mean, when you look that up, that scripture, I want to tell you, it's got your picture by it because Jesus paid for it. And so don't let the world Nike you. And I know when I use the term Nike, don't try to look it up right now. Don't. I'm not talking about Greek mythology. Okay, I don't reference them. What I'm talking about is the definition of the word. I like the definition of the word. Not for Greek mythology. I've got theories on that. You don't have time to hear it. But this is what Bible is talking about, is don't let the world Nike you. Nike means victorious. It means to overcome. To Nike means to override. Did you get that? Somebody say override, so I know you're listening. Okay, so there's something in this world, the flesh, the devil, okay, the world itself, sometimes other people, that are seeking to override you. Now, we can describe that in a lot of ways. It could be a sin that comes back to haunt you. Well, I want to tell you, the enemy will tell you, well, that's the way you are, and that's going to be your baggage forever. Well, that's a lie. So we can't line up with the lie. We got to line up with what Jesus says. It could be circumstances in your life where the enemy's whispering, you'll never overcome this. This will do you in. You'll be a loser for life. No, he's a liar. 1,000 times he's a liar. And so it could be a circumstance. It could be your emotions. I want to tell you, we live in a generation where people are ruled by their emotions. I kid you not, because I'm trying to help some people. There are people out there, I'm not naming names, there are people out there that will get up in the morning or get up midday because they stay up all night to play. I'm just saying, we see in David's life, that's a mistake. Okay. But they'll wake up and they'll say, how do I feel today? Let me see how I feel. How you doing today? I don't know. I'm trying to see how I feel. Because however I feel is what I'm determining my day to be. I want to tell you, man, the enemy's, all he's doing is rattling a chain. And I want to tell you, it's all based on a lie. Because your emotions are not the truth. They may be a fact, but they're not the truth. John says believers are positioned to overcome. Now, there's a big difference between hope and hopelessness. I'm just going to be real simple because that's about all I can do. But when you're in hope, it means you're believing and receiving. You see, love brings hope. Hope brings faith. I want to tell you, it's there for a reason. And I want to tell you, it's a beautiful flow from heaven. And it's something God does. It's not something you do. We don't make it happen. All we do is turn on our receiver. We get plugged into him and turn on our receiver, and we receive love. And when you receive love, hope comes. And when hope comes, guess what? Faith comes. And so, if you're hopelessness, you're in unbelief. What do? Back up the truck. Go back to where you walked away. Go back to love life. Until the Lord manifests hope in you. He'll paint this picture in your heart of what he's saying, what he's doing, of who you are and what he wants to do. Faith comes. Here's a simple question. Do you know the Lord? Because if you don't know the Lord, this don't work. But I want to tell you, if you know the Lord, that's for you. Every one of them. 1 John 5:5, who is? Who is? I want to tell you, I know it's not good English, but we need to say we is. Who is it that is victorious over, that conquers the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And Amplified brings out who adheres to, trust in, relies on the fact. And so in other words, it's a whole lot more than just a mental acknowledgement that, yes, I believe Jesus came. No. This is talking about a connection. This is talking about communication. This is talking communion. This is talking about oneness with him. This is talking about union with him. Who trust in him. Who depending on the Lord. What are you depending on, or who are you depending on? Listen, this is the position that Jesus died, that he gave us when you received Christ. He puts you in a position of victor and overcomer. You say, well, I don't see it in my life. Well, you know what? It's a grace gift. It's been given to us by grace. And it's by faith that we practice it. Now, there's a big difference a lot of times in our journey. There's a big difference between our position and our practice. But I want to tell you, the Bible says you're overcomers. Listen to me. You're an overcomer. That's your position. That's what Jesus paid for. Now, that's the real. That's the truth. That's the greater reality of what you're feeling. Or maybe what you're thinking, or what you're practicing, or what your emotions may say. That's the greater reality. That's the truth. Our practice is imperfect. In other words, the more we practice believing our position, the more our position becomes a part of our practice. Did you get that? I mean, I'll tell you what that is. That's growing up. That's learning how to believe and receive. That's part of our discovery journey right here. Because of our status is in Christ, that's truth. And truth trumps fact. Okay? Your state will fluctuate. But the greater reality is what we reach out to hang on to. And that's who Jesus is. So we practice believing. And the more we practice believing, the more we are receiving. Peace is for you. Joy is for you. Love it's all in you. The Holy Spirit is your coach. He's your 24/7, 365 coach that lives in you, and he shows you and helps you. John says, you really are overcomers. And so we need to practice believing and receiving what Bible says and not what our feelings say. Somebody say amen. Let the real be real. It's our practice. And so we practice submitting and surrendering to him, and we practice resisting the enemy. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God is victorious over the world. See, you write your name on that. Draw a stick figure if you need to. And this is the victory that conquers the world, even our faith. And so it's provided by grace. We exercise it by faith. Faith says yes to the truth. Look, it's a fact that I may be feeling bad or feeling sad. But it's the truth that his joy rules and reigns in me. That his peace overflows in me. It's the greater reality. See, it's the truth that I'm healed by his stripes. And so that's where our connection, that's where our focus needs to be. That's where our submission needs to be. Seek and surrender. You know what? We receive God's love and peace. And guess what he does? He causes us to Nike. He causes us to override. That's supernatural. That's not by your muscles, it's not by your will, it's not by your own strength or your brains, that when you practice the love life with the Lord and you receive hope and you practice faith, you know what? None of us are perfect at it, but I want to tell you, the Lord puts his super on our natural, and he causes us to Nike over the very thing that's attacking us. That is supernatural overriding. Your weakness with his strength, with his victory. I'm going to give you a couple little examples. My boys, I think Chris was in elementary school. Zach was just starting middle school. And, boy, they saw some pro wrestling on TV. And, man, they got wound up. I'm telling you, they got so excited. They got wound up. Dad, they got a big event coming on the TV, and you got to pay for it. Dad, you pay for it because we want to watch that. I just couldn't stand the stuff. I'm telling you, I couldn't stand it because I know, hope I don't bust any bubbles here. But it's fake. And I was so rebellious toward fake. I was in church life. Thank you for understanding. But I had a good buddy, see. Because, you know, my family, and because of ministry, we lived far away from family. And so, but the family of God's so good about providing, you know, grandparents and uncles and aunts in the Lord, and big brothers and so. I had a good buddy named Tim Heath. And I knew Tim liked this stuff. And so I told Tim, I said, look, man, let's make a deal here. I'm going to pay for this event. And they weren't cheap. But I'm going to pay for this event in the last, you know, half a night. Would you come over and sit with my boys while this event's on, because I can't stand it? And he said, sure. And he loved it. And he'd get down there on the floor with them, hollering and screaming and carrying on. And I'd make an exit. Okay. But here's the deal is that, you know, and I'm saying this because I have some fact. I had an ex-pro wrestler in my church at one time in our fellowship. And as I was ministering to him, he'd telling me about his past. He's telling me about those days. And he'd say, his arch nemesis, you know, they always have an enemy, you know. His arch nemesis was one of his best friends. And before an event, they'd go over and he'd pick him up and they'd ride in the car together, stop and get stuff to eat, and they'd laugh and have a good time and come to the event, and they'd get at the event, and the person that's in charge of the event would read the script of who was going to win. But it was very important that even though it was scripted, that they had to get in the ring and fight anyway. Well, I hope that gets to somebody. Because I want to tell you something. This is the script. I'm here to announce to you, no matter what your enemy looks like, it's been scripted that you win. That you're an overcomer. That you're a more than conqueror. God's word is your script. Jesus won the ultimate victory. It's predetermined, it's predestined, but you still got to fight. You still got to get in the ring and fight back. Now look, it's a process. That's why we talk about it's direction, not perfection. But you have override in you. Stuff still comes, but Jesus has provided for your override. It's your Nike. You could be bragging to people that, you know what? I could say this a couple months ago. You know, I can fly at over 500 miles an hour. I can fly at 35,000 feet. And my arms don't get tired. Well, you know what? The power of gravity is fact. But I want to tell you a greater truth is the power of aerodynamics. And the power of aerodynamics will override gravity. Hey, you got to remember, it's not you. It's not you flying. It's not you going 500 miles an hour. It's the position you're in. And so really and truly, it's not you in the Jesus life, it's you receiving. The power of sin, the power of darkness, the power of flesh, the power of the world is overcome by Jesus. It's the power of grace is greater than the power of sin. Somebody say amen. 1 John 5:5, I'm going through it one more time. Maybe you'll cooperate with me because I'm trying to wrap this up. Who is? Yeah, we is. Man, that's bad English. That's good theology right there. Hey, you is that victorious one over that conquers the world. You is the one that believes Jesus is the Son of God. And it's more than a mental acknowledgement. It's a relationship. The world wants to Nike you. The world wants you to feel defeated. It's a lie. The world wants you to feel lost. It's a lie. The world wants you to feel alone. It's a lie. It's not over. The Bible says you're an overcomer. That's the real. That's the greater reality. That's why we got to reprogram our computer. Renew our mind. We got to confess it. We got to say it. And then we got to put it into practice. I'm loved. Somebody say this after me. I am loved. I am blessed. I am favored. That is greater reality. God's goodness and His unfailing love, according to Psalms 26, is chasing me down every day. Hey, according to Bible, I'm a winner. I'm not a loser. I'm the first and not the last. I'm above and not beneath. I'm the head, not the tail. Jesus said so. Now, here's a little wisdom key to open up this door of victory. It's His love. Man, see, that sounds so simple. People over, y'all, give me something harder than that. Give me something I need to do. Let me go out here to the stadium and run up the steps a few times, you know. Give me something hard. No, He's made it this way so that no matter where you are in your journey, you can receive this and you can believe it. And you can receive it. And you know what? You can act on it. Let Jesus love on you. Empty your heart. You know what He wants? It's not a bunch of rules. He wants a relationship. You know what He wants with you? Intimacy with you. And when we're walking in love with Him, you know what? I want to tell you, it's automatic byproduct. We love Him back. He's irresistible when it comes to His love. And His loving kindness. And you know what the evidence is that you're loving the Lord, you're really loving the Lord back, is that you love God by loving on others. Two things in 1 John 4. I don't have time to turn to it. I'm just going to tell you. You can look at it later. Two proofs that you're really loving God is that you're loving on others with His love. And you know what? You're doing what He says. Boy, I tell you. That's not a bad word. Obey is a good word. But it's proof. And it's not works to get. we're doing because we've received. Man, rules without relationships, slavery. That's what religion does. Religion will kill you. I wrote a little tract one time. I couldn't get anybody to agree with me putting it out, but it went something like this: church life will kill you if it's not centered on Jesus. I couldn't get them past the first page. But fellowship love with Jesus, you know what it does? It brings life to you. And you know what? It brings wisdom to you. Love removes the burden. Well, I nearly got knocked down with that one. Okay, let me explain a couple things then right quick. Okay, give me another minute or two. If somebody's loading up your wagon and you can't pull it, that's not Jesus. If somebody's loading up your wagon and you can't pull it, that's not Jesus. If you have this great burden and you're not able to function, you know what? You've stepped out of the love lane. He's designed you to walk in the love lane. And in the love lane, he takes your burden. And he gives you refreshment and renewing. Sometimes people are out of the love lane because they've got offended. Look, that's easy to happen. But I want to tell you, you're not designed to stay there. When you operate in the love lane and you're letting the Lord loves on you, do you know what he does? He TLCs you with tender loving care as you cast your burden upon him. The tender, loving care, he takes it, he refreshes you, and he renews you. That's love life. I'm going to give you a couple examples, and I'm finished, okay? When I first started preaching, I was still in high school, and I was an FCA speaker, and man, it was just, I mean, the Lord just opened up doors. The next thing I know, I was speaking to football teams, speaking at schools. You could do that then. And pastors would have me back to preach youth rallies. I was having a blast. For the first time in my life, people were putting me up in hotels, motels. I didn't know how to operate. And were flying me places to preach, and I was still a teenager. I didn't know even how to operate in that world. But it was pretty exciting, and it was all happening so fast. But I'll never forget, I'm going to confess this to you. You know, we practice openness. I'm just going to tell you where I was, because at that time, I still looked like a football player. I know I look like a football now, but I looked like a football player then. But I remember going to a hotel, carrying my little luggage in. They had to buy me some luggage. What I used was sacks, okay? But I carried some luggage, and I carried it in, and I remember the first time I saw somebody walking by, and they had wheels on their suitcase. That tells you how long ago it's been. It was in the late 70s. I'll just tell you, it was the late 70s. And I thought, you big sissy. I'm telling you. I mean, from an athlete background. You big sissy. A man ought to be able to carry his own suitcase. And, you know, at the airport, you know, it's the first time I saw that. You know, I thought, man, you sissy. Next thing you know, they're going to have motorized ones or something. You big sissy. And then I go to a hotel, you know, and here comes a guy through here, and he got one of them carts, you know, put his little suitcases on the cart, pushing around. That man ought to carry his own suitcase. I'll never forget the first time I was in a real nice place, and this guy in this nice little suit was going to take my suitcases, and I got on to him, hey, man, don't you think I can carry my own suitcase, man? See, I didn't know. Well, I'm going to confess to you. On my last ministry trip just a few weeks ago, when I walked into the hotel, I walked in, first thing I said, where's the cart, man? I know I got wheels on my suitcase, but I want the cart. Now, I want to tell you something. Love removes the burden. Those little wheels take the burden away. Now, I want to tell you something. If you think you're being a hero by carrying a burden, you're missing. God didn't design you to carry burdens. God didn't design you to carry other people's burdens. I've got to put this in real quick. It's not in the notes, but this is for somebody. God didn't design you to carry other people's drama clubs. Ooh, I needed to say that. I'm so much better. But I'm here to say this to you. Love recharges the battery. Love removes the burden. Are you drained? You know what? You need to spend time in the love lane. And I've had some people say, and I had a pastor up north tell me just a while back, that you know what, brother, we've been casting, we've been bringing our burdens to the Lord, but we haven't been practicing what you're talking about, the TLC part. I said, man, that's the most important part. Come on. It ain't complete. Love is not complete until you let him love on you. Bring your burdens to him. Lay it down at the feet of his throne, and then let him personally TLC you until you're complete and you're free and you're renewed. We got to stay there until it gets here. Walk in the love lane. It's predetermined victory. You know what? I'm just telling you, go deeper in love. That's what Paul said. Go deeper. He said, it's my life purpose to know him and to know his love in a deeper way. Look, I like to fish. Okay. I want to be real honest with you here. I don't fish in the heat of the summer in Texas no more. I used to when I was young. But I figured out when I was young that, you know, I had to have a different pattern of fishing than at the daybreak where I love to fish. Or, you know, it's just a different pattern, you know, because the fish go deeper because of the heat. So I'd have to fish deep. And I want to tell you this. It's real simple. But when the heat gets on in your life, go deeper. Take time. Let him be the priority. And go deeper. Okay? I was in track, and I was really one of the fastest ones in the eighth grade. I was a fullback, but the coaches were disappointed that I never got any faster. Most people do. I was the same speed in the eighth grade that I was as a senior. They were kind of disappointed in that. But I'll never forget the day that they said, Hall, you want a high jump? I said, sure. Well, man, I tell you, and today I don't try to get over my head. I used to have deer stands way up. I want a ground blind now. But I want to tell you something, man, I could not jump. At all, we don't think that's for you. I said, well, what about that guy with the pole? Let me do that. That looked like fun. Well, that didn't take long. But see, there's a difference between the high jumpers, you know, and if you watch the Olympics, we love the Olympics. You watch the Olympics, man, they can jump 7-8 feet. High jump. Wow, man. You know, that's just a couple feet lower than a basketball goal. That's how high they go. 7 or 8 feet. But I want to tell you something. The guys with the pole, man, they jump nearly 3 times that much. 18, 19, 20 feet with the pole. The difference is between 7 feet and 20 feet is the power of the pole. Now, they've learned to utilize, to cooperate with the power of the pole that propels them from a normal human or extremely talented human jump of 7 feet to nearly 21 feet. Now, I want to tell you, what really hits me about this is that, you know what? He didn't design us to operate in this world with our natural ability. He's designed us. See, humans want to add. God multiplies. God's got supernatural life designed for us. And with his supernatural life, when we learn that we have the power of the cross, not the power of the pole, the power of the cross. And we learn how to utilize the power of the cross. We learn how to cooperate with the finished works of the cross. Then I want to tell you, the supernatural will take place in our life that's far above anything we could ask, dream, or think. I got one more story. You got time? The clock says no, But I'm not referring to the clock. Look, I've already told you we love the Olympics. And back in, Chris was in, I think, elementary. Zach was in junior high, I think middle school. And, man, we were in a little 700-square-foot home is where we lived. But, man, we were watching the Olympics, the 96 Olympics. And I'll never forget, man, we come alive. And this really touched me. It was the 96 Olympics. Russia had owned the Women Olympics for years. But here's this little team from the United States, a bunch of rookies they called. They called them the Magnificent Seven. Y'all are too young to remember this. 96 Olympics. And it come down that they were neck and neck in competition, Russia and the United States. And then we're watching. And the boys were cheering, USA. And it come down to a vault by little Carrie Strug. And she's running down, and she does the vault. I don't know how to explain it, but, you know, she run down this little lane, hits this little springboard, jumps up, does a bunch of fancy stuff, and lands. They got to do a perfect landing, you know. Well, she did that. She hit the ball, come up, and landed, and she injured her ankle. Man. She goes over. It's kind of a timeout situation. She goes over and confers with her coach. She and all the USA hope for gold rides on this particular event. With her vault. And so she had one more chance. But she's. And her coach speaks to her. Man, this still touches me. Her coach speaks to her and he said, "This is your destiny. This is what you've trained your whole life to do. Your nation needs you." And she said, "I'm going to do it." She limps back out. I'll never forget. She limps back out to the little runway there. And she takes off, and she's kind of hobbling. And she gets a little faster and faster. She hits that vault, comes up in the air, and when she lands, I don't know if you can see this, but when she lands on one foot. Do you remember this? One foot, and then lowers the other one real slowly, arms up. Perfect landing. And she won. And the whole world, well, except Russia, the whole world rejoices and celebrates. And man, the hall boys, we're going wild in celebration. And this is what really got me, is that they interviewed her afterwards, you know. And they said, "You know, you were injured, you know. How did you do this through the pain and the injury? How did you even do it?" And she said two things. She said, "I listened to the words of my coach." Boy, we need to listen to his words. And she said, "I kept my eye on the coach the whole time." And so I'm announcing to you, he's put Nike in you to override. And the way to override by his spirit is to listen to his word. And to keep our eyes on him. That's your victory. Let Jesus, his loving presence, become more real to you than the absence of easier circumstances. Hope that makes sense to you. I got a little kitty. Well, I said the last story. Let me tell this one. One of the little wild kitties at our place is called Little Sister. And she's a beautiful little young solid black kitty, little female. And when she hears the garage door open up, she figures, okay. She come running, and she gets up on top of the fence there in the backyard. And she sits there waiting to make eye contact with me. And when I look and see little sister on the top fence, I'll say, "Little sister, come on. I got a treat for you." And then she'll jump down that fence, man. And she comes running, man, fast as she can. She's not like some other wildcats that are too scared to approach. She comes running as fast as she can, and she'll come right up in the garage with me because she knows she's getting a treat. She knows she's getting loved on. There's a little picture, and I hope you can see it clearly. Oh, yeah, there it is. This is a picture of a little lamb. The shepherd has called its name. and it's coming running, full gallop. I love that because that delights the Lord's heart. Let me tell you something. He's calling your name in 2024. And you know what pleases him? You know what causes him to delight is for you to come running when he calls your name. That's what he wants. Last scripture. Okay. And this is it. It's Zephaniah, isn't it? Yeah, Zephaniah 3:17. For the Lord your God, this is in 2024, is living among you. He's a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. With his love, he will calm all your fears. He will rejoice over you with joyful songs. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank you so much for your patience this morning. But the most important part of this morning is hearing the Lord. And what is the Lord saying to you right now? What is the whisper to your heart? There's a lot I could say right now, but I just want you to listen. Would you just ask him right now, Lord, what are you saying to me? And just be still. And be quiet. And just listen for his voice. He said, my sheep know my voice. Lord Jesus, thank you that your victory in our journey is not attained, it's obtained. We receive it. Thank you for a great grace that you've provided victory and overcoming for our journeys. Thank you, Lord, for faith that you've planted in us to believe and to receive and to act on it. So, Lord Jesus, I just pray, Holy Spirit, come and do a complete picture in the heart of every person listening of what your victory looks like in their life in 2024. Lord Jesus, we give you praise and we give you glory. We know it's by you and not by us that we're receivers, not achievers. We bless you and we give you praise that with you all things are possible in 2024. And all the people said, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Give the Lord a shout.